Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geek with Muscles podcast with Mike Robert, discussing science, technology, spirituality, and something else.
And hey everybody, what's up? It's me, Mike. Welcome to another edition of the Geek with Muscles podcast. Yes, and welcome. And today's episode is about gay medical nightmares. Yes, gay medical nightmares. And what a more appropriate time to talk about it. It's Friday night. I'm feeling good. Definitely don't want to, just got home from work. Definitely don't want to be in a bad mood when I talk about this, because this is pretty serious, actually. And I figured that with us just having an amazing month of Pride, it was an amazing Pride month. I think it was the best Pride month I've ever experienced in my life. Everybody was out and about. Celebrities were coming to support us. I mean, to support the community. It was incredible. It really was. It was an amazing experience this past Pride month. But not only that, but in May, our wonderful president expanded the ability by signing into effect some new policies for the Department of Health and Human Services, expanding the ability of people to claim religious freedom that practice in the medical community, people that work in the medical community. And with that being said, and with the medical nightmares I've experienced, I'm going to talk about three of them today that I have experienced personally as a gay man. So as like a random sampling, if I've experienced three of them, and at a time too, when there wasn't any sort of regulations saying that, hey, you can discriminate upon a gay person. Like, people back then didn't want to like be so forward about it, right? And now we literally have rules by the Department of Health and Human Services that says, based on your religious beliefs or your religious preferences, that you can opt out of performing a medical procedure or assisting someone if it goes against your religious beliefs. And you may think, hey, well, that's not such a big deal. Well, what if my care as a gay man is delayed? And we know that in the world of medicine, sometimes time is of the essence. And the slightest delay in either getting another person or having to fill in another person with the details, but it can literally impact your life, especially when there's certain decisions that need to be made. And you feel that people aren't operating in your best interest. So let's talk about my medical nightmares. Some of them occurred years ago, and some of them occurred quite recently. And all of them were going by the premise that people really didn't want to make it known so much that they were discriminating on the gay community. And now it's allowed. So I kind of feel like this kind of thing is going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So let's talk about my experiences. Okay. My first medical nightmare. Okay. Maybe we can get rid of the organ and subsequent. Okay, so my first medical nightmare happened about 15 years ago. It was a simple trip to the doctor. I had gone to see my primary care physician, who was a former member of the military. He served, I believe, in the Navy, because he had all these plaques all over his walls and there were ships everywhere. So I'm pretty sure, positive, it was the Navy. And he was a young male, very nice, you know, and everything, but always a little standoffish with me, never really felt comfortable with me. And I never felt fully comfortable with him. I could sense there was always like this hesitation with him. I had a series of fever sores, or fever blisters, if you want to call them, in my throat. This is something that I've dealt with ever since I was a little kid. I used to get these little white dots in my throat, usually one at a time, like under my lip or something, internally, not on the outside, but like internally, and they hurt like a motherfucker. You know exactly what I'm talking about if you've ever had them. They usually pop up on times of stress. So, you know, you can get stressed out and you'll get them. You can also get them right after you go to the dentist. You know, these are things that were routine, something I've been dealing with my entire life. I go to my primary care and I tell them, hey, there's these four little things in the back of my, you know, throat. Because there was four, and the pain was bad. I was kind of concerned about them. And I thought, hey, maybe he can do something about it. Well, he ended up looking at me in a very strange way. And then he said to me, "That's herpes." And I'm like, "Excuse me?" And he goes, "That's herpes." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." He's talking about the herpes that everybody has, that everybody has on the outside of their lips. They get cold sores and, you know, that sort of thing, that herpes. And he goes, "No, I'm talking about sexually transmitted herpes." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm terrified. And I go, "Excuse me?" And he goes, I go, "I'm terrified. That's scary. I'm terrified." And he goes, "You should be. It is very scary." And he just leaves the room, leaves me all alone. I'm like, "What the fuck?" I'm like terrified. I'm in my 20s. I've been in a long-term relationship most of my entire adult life at that sort of time. I was not even familiar so much with, you know, how it is to be single. He comes back in the room and he's got this stick with him in like a tube. And he says, "I'm going to take a culture of your throat because I need to take a culture, but I'm almost positive it's herpes." So he swabs in, and of course it's painful because the shit's hurt like a motherfucker. And he doesn't seem like he cares too much. Like, he's so distant with me. He's not talking to me. He's not giving me any sort of information. He's just being very silent. And this is only making the situation worse. Okay, he's doing this culture thing. He puts the tube away, you know, puts it in there, and he goes, "Well, this will take a couple of days to come back, but I'm going to write you a prescription for an antiviral." I'm like floored. I leave there. I'm scared shitless. And at the same time, I'm like, I have to go to the pharmacist right away because this is serious. Now, you have to realize, like, also coming back 15 years ago, there's this huge stigma associated with herpes and any STD, really. I mean, it's like, so I'm like freaking out, right? Because I'm like, "Oh my God, I have herpes." So I call up my brother right away. And my brother, who's also gay, call up my brother Larry. And he says, "This sounds very funny. This doesn't sound right at all." I go ahead and I'm really scared. And Larry's talking me down. He's trying to make me feel good or feel better, you know. And I go to the pharmacist, I get this prescription filled out, and I feel embarrassed as fuck to have to go to a prescription, get something that's prescribed to people with herpes. So, like I said, I'm freaking out. I go home, I'm taking my medicine, I start to get headaches, which I found out is a side effect of the medication. And my brother suggests to me that I call some sort of clearinghouse or some sort of hotline for herpes. And believe it or not, there was one at the time. So I called them up and I spoke to this very kind lady who was a little taken back at what had happened. And she goes, "Okay, what you're describing to me is not typical of herpes." They go, "You have a fever blister." And I go, "Yeah, that's what I thought, but he took a culture." And she goes, "I seriously think you need to reconsider your primary care physician because he's got a lot of issues and concerns. None of them are in regard to your health." So she was pretty adamant about it, that this guy was basically homophobic, and that immediately, because I had fever sores in my throat, that I was gay, that it must be herpes. Well, he calls me a week later. He says to me, and he never calls me, by the way, you know, it's always the physician's assistant, you know, it's never the doctor that calls you. And he called me personally and he goes, "Hey, Mike, I just want to tell you the results of your culture. They came back negative. So you don't have herpes." And I'm like, "Okay." And he goes, "Okay, so," and I go, "Okay." And I'm just sitting there on the phone and I'm sort of going from this relieved sort of stage to this highly pissed off sort of stage, because by this time, I've spoken to enough people that I know that the reason this doctor put me through this whole ordeal is strictly because I was gay. He went ahead and said, "Are you okay?" You know, because I was silent. I wasn't saying anything. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And I made it very much known to him that I was pissed off and I hung up. And so that's just one example of how this doctor, who of course I no longer see, and this was 15 years ago, but because their predisposition, because of their prejudice, went ahead and assumed the worst of his patient just because his patient was gay. And that's something that we have to deal with as gay men and women in this country and all over the world, really. We have to make sure that the people that we're seeing, the doctors and the medical professionals that we're seeing, that they're okay with our sexuality. So that was my first gay medical nightmare that ever happened. And like I said, it happened, actually, I said 15 years ago, and that would be entirely incorrect. Wow, actually happened about 25 years ago. So yeah, 25 years ago this happened with that doctor. So I'm sure he's retired by now, and if he's not, he should be. And if he's listening to this, he probably should call me up and give me an apology. Okay, so I'm going to fast forward to about 5 years ago. And this is, chronologically, this is actually the last gay medical nightmare that I had. But I want to save the best one for last, because that one really fucked me up. The last gay medical nightmare I had was 5 years ago with my former primary care physician. And I will not give names, of course, but she was this British lady who, I love British people. I absolutely love British people. And immediately thought she was the coolest doctor ever, because she's like, oh, hello, how are you? You know, she's like that sort of British. And I talked to her about Doctor Who and everything. I'm like, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. And she's like, oh, in medical school, we watch Doctor Who all the time, you know, and all this stuff. So anyway, I kind of thought she was cool with me being gay, although she always tiptoed around it. And one time I asked her about PrEP, because PrEP was just becoming popular. And that's the pre-exposure prophylactic medication, also known as Truvada, is one of them that you can take. And it's really making a huge difference in the amount of people who are infected with HIV for those people that are on the medication. It's just an incredible medication. If more people would take it, it would really make a bigger difference in our community. But to those people who are taking it, it's making a huge difference. Anyway, I had asked her about Truvada, and she actually totally avoided it and basically told me she wasn't going to prescribe it to me, that I had to go see another doctor. And I was kind of floored by this, because I'm like, okay, you're my primary doctor. You know, you're the one I'm supposed to trust with these sorts of decisions. You're basically brushing me off. And she did it in a very coy sort of way. And I was like, okay, maybe she wasn't being homophobic, but I don't know. And she was very sort of like I said, just skittish around it. She didn't want to talk about it. So I said, okay. And I just kept it in the back of my head. Well, one day I go into the office, and as if you may have known from another episode of my podcast, that I am someone who is under hormone replacement therapy. And basically that's because my testosterone was incredibly low and I was going through some serious depression. So I go in there one day, and again, she knows I'm gay and she knows I'm on this hormone replacement therapy that a urologist prescribed to me, because she, again, that was one of the other things she didn't want to deal with. She didn't want to prescribe me testosterone, even though she was the one who said you need to get it checked out. So I go ahead and I go into the office one day to go over my blood result. And I was really stupid, because I took my blood work, or I did my blood work right in the morning, right? But that's when you also put your testosterone medication on. So you have this like rapid absorption in the morning that doesn't last all day. It levels out as your body metabolizes it. But when I had put that medication on in the morning and I did my blood work, it came back artificially high, my number. And not super high, but it came back like around 1,000, which is not really bad, but it's at the top of the scale. Now, if you're taking like steroids and stuff, you're going to come back you can come back at 2,000 or 3,000. I mean, you're going to come back really high if you're like taking illegal shit, right? But no, this is like from the normal deodorant style hormone replacement therapy. Well, she goes ballistic on me when she sees this whole blood work come back, and she sees it at 1,000. She starts screaming at me that I am too muscular and I am too big and I need to stop working out. And I'm like, excuse me? You're the first doctor in my life that has told me that I need to stop exercising, I need to stop working out. She goes, Arnold Schwarzenegger had bypass surgery and he was 50 years old. It doesn't do any good for you. And she starts screaming at me. And other people in the room can hear this, because you can hear her talking like to her patients, not clearly when she's talking normally, but you can hear it. But when she's talking loud, oh my gosh, you could totally hear it. So everyone in the waiting room is hearing her scream at me. And then she starts cursing at me. She starts telling me that my kidneys are failing. And I said, well, I'm taking a supplement that has creatine in it. That's why my creatine levels are high. And she goes, you're fucking killing yourself. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, she's going like ape shit on me. Totally ape shit. And then my cholesterol comes back a little high, not super high, but it's high. And it's always been high. But it comes back high and she starts screaming at me about what I'm eating and actually gives me a flyer from, of all people, Pfizer. I think it's Pfizer, the people who make Lipitor. And it's telling me to eliminate foods like avocados and eggs and everything. And I'm like, okay, these are all foods with high amounts of fatty acids, like the ones that you need, like, you know, good fatty acids. And she's screaming at me, goes on and on. I tell her I'm taking whey protein. And she goes, it's synthetic. Do you really think they milk a cow? And to tell you the truth, that's exactly what they do, because they harvest the whey as a byproduct of the cheese making process. She really didn't know anything about what she was talking about as far as fitness goes. And then it all comes out. And then, oh, and then she asked me, and then I told her, you know, my brother, who was going through nursing school, and he has a pretty good medical background because he works in hospice and everything like that. So he knows more than the average bear, right? And I tell him, well, my brother says, she goes, I don't give a fuck what your brother says. And I'm like, okay, this is getting totally out of control. Now it's all culminating for me. And I'm realizing that all this feelings and emotions that she's had towards me weren't just my imagination. She's obviously got issues with me. And I don't know if she was having a bad day, but they all culminated into this one ugly spot in that examination room. And she became a total bitch. And she was just yelling at me and screaming at me. And then on Yelp, there's a review saying she yells at you if she's in a bad mood from her previous patient. So somebody else, and because of the date of the Yelp review, I think he was talking about me. Okay, never went back to her again, ever. Because as my current primary care physician, who's so cool, she apologized to me on behalf of all doctors everywhere, is what she said. But she says a patient should never, ever, ever experience that thing in their doctor's office, ever. Okay, you're supposed to trust your doctor. You're supposed to feel comfortable with telling them anything, because you're not supposed to feel like you have to keep something from your doctor, because keeping something from them could be detrimental to your health. Okay, my final gay medical nightmare, and this is a big one, so I have to bring back the organ. Okay. This is huge. This is really huge. So this happened about 5 years ago also. It didn't happen too far apart. I would say maybe 6 years ago. Let's say 6 years ago. So this is pretty recent. And I have an accidental exposure to HIV. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And I think more people in our community need to be aware of HIV and need to be aware of risks and need to take appropriate action and get tested on a regular basis, get medicated, get PrEP, all that good stuff, right? So I'm on a date with someone, the condom breaks, I have an accidental exposure to HIV. The person was HIV positive, okay? I'm kind of scared, obviously, as somebody would be. And I couldn't sleep all night, and I called up my brother in the morning, my gay brother, and he says, you need to go to the, called him up really early, and he says, you need to go to the emergency room and tell them you had an exposure. And I'm like, well, that's what the same thing, you know, that was told to me once when I went, used to go to get my HIV tests on a regular basis. Though one of the person testing me told me, like, now they have protocols in place when this happens. So I said, okay. So I go to my local hospital. And again, I'm not going to mention names. I don't want them to sue me. So I go to my local hospital and I go to the emergency room. And the emergency room, the waiting area is pretty empty. And there's this lady behind the desk, and she's not in a good mood at all. I don't know a lot of emergency rooms where people are in a good mood behind the desk. And so I wrote on there, on the, they make you sign a form, you know, sign what's wrong with you, and you have to write it down. So I wrote HIV exposure, need post-exposure therapy, or I forget what I wrote exactly. But anyway, the lady looks at me and she goes, what is this? And I'm like, I you know, and I don't want to say it out loud because there's a whole, you know, waiting area. And even though it's not crowded, it's practically empty. There's still people there, you know, and you don't want to like, and I'm like, I need, you know, I need post-exposure. And she goes, because of what? And she just was like not in a good mood. And she's trying to pull this out of me. And there's a guy standing next to her. That's like one of the triage nurses. And he looks and I say to him, I was exposed to HIV. I need post-exposure therapy. And he goes, there's really nothing we can do for you. You have to wait 6 months and get tested. And then I looked at him and I said, so you want me to get HIV first and then come back and get tested? Or do you want to treat me with post-exposure therapy? And he goes, oh, yeah. And right away, that set the tone for the rest of the day, for the next 8 hours of my experience of being in the emergency room, being in a bed in the back there where they're actually treating patients and having to deal with complete ignorance. And I was scared shitless. So I'm in the emergency room. I fill out all the paperwork. I go into the triage area and I have to explain to the triage nurse everything that happened. And she's like, okay. And she looks clueless too. Absolutely clueless. But at least she's more understanding. Like, she's not like, you know, she's being nice to me. And she's not like telling me, oh, well, you have to come back in 6 months. And all. No, she's not doing any of that. So then they, you know, put me in the emergency room in a bed. And this nurse comes up to me and she's asking me questions. And she's completely clueless of what's going on. Eventually, a doctor actually shows up. And the doctor looks at me and says, well, we're calling another hospital for a consult on this. And she goes, we're not exactly sure what we're going to do right now, but there's really not much we can do. You have to get tested again in 6 months. And I said, yes, but there is an exposure protocol you can follow. I go, my sister, who was a former police officer, she was bitten by somebody. And she was going to go through that protocol. And this was years ago. So don't tell me that there's nothing you can do. And so she goes, well, that's why we're doing the consult. And she walks away. And you know what? I never saw her again. And she was so uncaring. She had the worst bedside manner. She was so blasé about the whole thing. And here I am scared shitless, right? I've been exposed. I'm pretty scared. And she's so like, oh, yeah, no big deal. We're going to get a consult. And I never saw her again, ever. It gets worse because I wasn't the only person feeling this sense of anxiety. The lady that was taking my blood while the doctor was there comes back and whispers in my ear, they can give you medication. They do it for us. You need to ask to speak to a supervisor. And she walks away. And I was like, holy shit, when an employee knows I'm being fucked over, that's pretty serious. Okay, that is pretty serious. So I'm waiting there. I haven't had breakfast, of course. I'm just in the emergency room and I'm sitting there and the TV is on and I'm in a bed and I'm falling asleep and I'm waking up and it's really starting. And they're like, oh, your blood work came back. There's nothing in there. And I'm like, yeah, no shit, you know. And I go, because we're calling the other doctors and hours are going by. The doctor never comes back, never see the doctor again. Call up my brother. And it's like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon at this point. And I'm starving to death. And my brother says, what's going on? And I said, nothing. Like, they took my blood and the doctor says they're going to do a consult. And nothing. And he goes, well, you know, time is really important because there's a 72-hour window and you've already waited. This has already been like 12 hours or so. So your clock is ticking. The sooner the better. And he goes, you know what? You need to leave. They're not interested in helping you. They're not interested in your health. So I say, the nurse comes up to me, who, by the way, the nurse that was taking care of me was the sweetest, most wonderful. She was this Jamaican lady. And she was so sweet and kind. And she's the only reason I made it through this whole experience. Because she sees me getting dressed. And she's like, why are you leaving, baby? I wish I could do a better Jamaican accent, but I can't. And I'm like, I have to go. You guys don't care about me. You guys do not care. She goes, no, don't leave. We're getting help. And I'm like, I have been here. I am starving. And she goes, oh, honey, I'll get you some food. Again, excuse my Jamaican accent. She goes and gets me food. She gets me stuff to eat. She was an angel, like a total angel. And about an hour after that, she comes with rubber gloves on because she can't handle the medication. I'm reading the orders as she put them on the table, and she can't handle Truvada without rubber gloves because apparently there's some toxicity in there. She gives me two pills, and then they write me a prescription for it. By the time I'm discharged, it's 4 p.m. Never saw the doctor again. So there you have it. I get there like 7-something, 8 in the morning. I'm not out till 4 o'clock. I have this huge letter. I should have read before doing this podcast, actually. I should have done my research, but I have this huge timeline of events that I actually wrote a letter to the hospital to tell them what a fuck up they were in regards to post-exposure therapy for HIV and how they have protocols in place for their employees, but they totally were having to call for consults and everything. It was bullshit. In a big city like Miami, I can't expect this sort of thing like Wisconsin or something like that when they're milking cows and everywhere. Because, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere and you don't have a big city, a metropolitan city or whatever. But when you're in a big city like Miami, you should know this shit already. You're not in small town USA. You're in a big fucking city. Fast forward to today. And now our wonderful president goes ahead and signs Department of Health and Human Services policy that expands the ability for people to discriminate for religious purposes, for religious liberty. So where do you think that's going to take us? If we've come from the dark ages, if me alone as a single person, just me, if I've managed to experience 3 issues with my health because of people's prejudice of gay people, because people didn't consider it important to educate themselves. And that includes the hospital and includes my primary care, who had a gay patient, knew she had a gay patient, and couldn't give 2 shits about any issues, just referred me elsewhere because she didn't want to deal with it. So if that happened, and now we're making it legal, for people to turn us away or to say, I'm sorry, I can't work on you. I'm going to have to get somebody else. So imagine somebody's working on me for 3 hours and then they find out I'm gay. I can't imagine it would take anybody 3 hours to figure that out. But let's say it took someone 3 hours to figure out that I'm gay. They go ahead. They decide, after getting all my information and everything I've explained, they decide that because of their religious beliefs, they cannot treat me and they have to get somebody else and they have to explain everything, or I have to explain everything again. Those are just hours going by that could possibly impact the outcome of the situation. So I wanted to share my stories, and I'm really hoping that people out there, if they're with a doctor that is not doing what's best for them and their health, and it's because they're gay or lesbian, that they are transgendered, they need to go elsewhere. You need to feel super comfortable with your doctor to say anything. And that's how I am with my current primary care physician. In fact, I have an appointment with her in 10 days and I absolutely love her. She's amazing. And that's about it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. And listen, I so appreciate the feedback. Thanks for listening and have an amazing day. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Geek with Muscles podcast. Catch more of Mike on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and geekwithmuscles.com.